We come now to our second lesson on In His Time. We get that phrase out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 6. And now ye know what withholdeth, what hell holds back, that he, these antichristian spirits and the powers of darkness, might be revealed in his time. And then we also saw in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 29 that the demons knew that there was a certain time. Don't cast us into the abyss before our time. So God will give the devil his time. Now, he's God's devil. He's not your devil. He's God's devil. God has defeated him, and he's given you a champion, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. They will take care of you. But you're going to have to leave this thing alone, take your hands off of it, and step back from it, and let God be God. I hate to say let God. We can't let God be anything, but I mean, you know what I mean. You need to leave this thing alone and understand that there will be a time that the devil will be turned loose. And we want to begin reading to substantiate that in the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation. For our second lesson, let's begin in the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation. And I saw an angel come down from heaven. This is a heavenly being. Now, who is he? Having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Jesus Christ has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he said, I'll give them to the church, the keys. And so this is representing the person and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he laid hold on the dragon. That's what he did at the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. How long was that? You say, well, that's 999 plus one. Nope, it's not mathematical. The more zeros that you had in Hebrew was the greater authority that you had. They had a captain of 10, 1 0, captain of hundreds, 2 zeros, captain of 1,000. He's really progressing on in authority. So this is complete, a time of completion, 1,000 years, 3 zeros. That's as high as it goes. They never did go beyond 1,000. They say 10,000 times 10,000. But it was always thousands. So it's talking about the perfection of the length and the endurance and the working of the Holy Spirit in the church age. It's God's precise number, 1,000 years. And he casts him into the bottomless pit and shuts him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Now, as they put a seal on the tomb, where on the stone where Jesus was, so God's going to return the favor and going to put a seal on shutting up of the Satan. I don't know why I can't get that out. Shut him up and set a seal upon him. God's going to put a seal upon him. He ain't getting out till God gets ready to let him out. Nobody can break that seal except the person that put it on there, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what was Satan doing prior to him being defeated at the cross? Deceiving the nations. That's what it's all about. I told you about the globe and the little pin lights shining on Israel only. And then when Jesus said, all authority is given me in heaven and in earth, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall have the light of life. So the Lord Jesus Christ sets a seal upon him and goes forth as the light of the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. And it's reflected in the next verse. He said, till the thousand, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were up. Till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. What do you mean? What was he doing prior to the cross, deceiving the nations? What shall he do during the church age? He will not be able to deceive the nations. What will he do once Christ lets him out? Go forth to deceive the nations. And God will by him bring strong delusion. that the world, even the church world, the denominational religious world, will believe a lie and be damned. God shall send strong delusion. Use the devil to do it, for he is a liar and the father of it. And he says, he till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. The devils knew that. Don't cast us into the abyss before our time. You remember that in Matthew 8:29? They said there was a certain fearful looking for a fire ending. We understand this thing's going to happen. Don't make us get into it prior to our time. They believe there was a set time, but the church today in the world don't believe there's a set time. They don't believe that the devil's God's devil. They don't believe that they're ever going to have to go through any kind of affliction or tribulation. But the Bible said we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. What you going to do about that? Listen. Now, what do you see now, John, that the devil has been sealed up for the church age? And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. What are you talking about? Ephesians 2:6. I saw peoples on thrones, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and judgment was given unto them. Why do you go to the law and the courts of the land, brother against brother, Christian against Christian? He said, the least in the church, the one that's just newly saved, has got more discernment and understanding of how to discern between some problem that this brother in the church is having against that brother in church. You don't need to go get a lawyer and go to the heathen and the outside, the unregenerate, and let the laws of the land decide what's going on with the church. You got judgment yourself. That's what this is talking about. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Here again, everybody goes literal. Well, he got his head chopped off. Christ is said to be our head. You were relieved of the headship of the natural. We come unto the headship of the spiritual. We are no longer under the authority of the world. We still give respect to honor our fathers and mothers and so forth in that kind of headship. But if that headship goes against and tries to get us to walk contrary to the things of the Holy Spirit, cut off that headship and we walk with Christ. He is our authority. Listen. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. The souls of them. How do you cut a soul's head off? And for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for the church age, the 1,000 years. They're living and reigning with Christ in the church age. That's talking about the church time when we're on earth, their soul. Listen. But the rest of the dead, listen now. The rest of the dead, people who were not saved during the church age, they're dead in trespasses and sins. They lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. What is the first resurrection? Regeneration. You were dead in trespasses and sins, and God resurrected you. That's the first resurrection, being born again. That's all it means. Listen, you know why? Because the first resurrection renders one in verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Listen, coming up out of the grave don't render you blessed and holy. If you were ungodly when you went in, you'd be ungodly when you come out. But Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They are raised up to sit in heavenly places with Christ. The first resurrection is the believer coming to understand and know that God has saved him. He was dead in trespasses and sins. Now he's made alive in Christ Jesus. Rise up, O men of God. Have done with earthly things. So the first resurrection, being regeneration, renders you blessed and holy, is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Now listen. And on him the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him during that 1,000 years of the church age. The second death hath no power. What does that mean? Do you know anybody that was lost that died? He said, yeah, sadly so. Well, they died physically, and you went to the funeral and you watched them lower his casket into the earth. That's the first death. But you said they were not saved. What is that but the second death? If you are born twice, you shall only die once. What are you talking about, preacher? You were born of your mom and daddy. Then you were born again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. John chapter 3, verse 3 and 5. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. John 3, 8. So I was born of my mom and daddy. And then secondly, I was born of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. So I only have to die once. If Christ delays, not delays, I don't like that word. If Christ doesn't come back before it's time for me to be time for me to die, as Ecclesiastes 3:2 says, a time to die, then I only die once. But those who are born once die twice. What are you talking about? If that man is only born of his mom and daddy, and he's never born again of the Holy Spirit, he dies physically, and then he enters into eternal death in the suburbs of hell. So if you're born once, you die twice. But if you're born twice, that second death don't have any power over you. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Yeah, but Grandpa had eternal life, and he was a great Christian, but he died. Yeah, but he's never going to perish. Second death don't have any power over him. The devil can't claim him and take him into the pits of the damned. Jesus saved him, gave his life for him. Listen, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. That's regeneration. On such, the second death, going into the depths of hell, hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, let's get back to Satan. How long did God bind him up for? Bound him 1,000 years, verse 2. And it says, what was he doing before God bound him? Deceiving the nations. Now look at verse 7. And when the 1,000 years were expired or finished or fulfilled, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. When the church age is finished, when evangelism has brought in everybody that it's supposed to bring in, God will allow Satan to mop up the rest of this world. So we see we need Satan, God's buzzard, God's garbage collector, to be loose, to go out and to effect that strong delusion that all those who do not receive the love of the truth will believe a lie and be damned because of that strong delusion. So he's God's devil. When God don't want him, binds him up for the whole church age. And we were, the church in that age was fighting a bound up enemy. Your adversary, the devil. He ain't God's adversary. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you with all those lusts and so forth. He was bound up. Now, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. What was he doing before he was bound up? Deceiving the nations. Verse 3. What shall he do once he's released? In verse number 8, he shall go out to deceive the nations, to bring forth a strong delusion that everybody that don't have Christ in their heart shall believe a lie and be damned. Which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, the church. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. You're not going to have to deal with the devil. You are not capable of, you are not equipped to deal with the devil in this kind of power. You are able to resist the devil in the lust of your flesh. But you can't deal with the devil once God has given him his time. God will take care of it. And the devil that deceived them, those that were deceived, in verse 8, he deceived the nations, and all those that were deceived, strong delusion that they may believe a lie and be damned. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, just like the swine were cast into the lake there and the sea there in Gennesaret. Listen, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. It's over. God has done what he wanted to do. He's God's devil. God did not, I don't know whether to say invent or not, I didn't, let me say create. God did not create evil. God did not create sin. The angel was created as an angel, and sin and rebellion came from his heart. And you can find out what he said, I will be like the Most High in Isaiah chapter 14. I will be like the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. He said, I am to be the Messiah. I am to be the visibility of God. And when he said that, God said, no, yet thou shalt be cast down to hell. They that look upon thee shall narrowly consider thee and say, is this the man that caused the earth to tremble? You mean that's all there was to all of this? Yeah, you could have defeated him because you had Christ in you. God doesn't tempt anybody. But a man, when he is carried away of his own lust, his lust brings forth sin, and sin brings forth death. But if you want that stopped, you have to resist the devil, that he will flee from you, and you can do that. But when God releases Satan out of his pit that the Lord Jesus Christ chained him up and put him into and locked the door from the outside and put a seal on it. When God determines to loose him for one purpose, again, what was he doing before he was locked up? Deceiving the nations. What shall he do when he is unleashed? Deceive the nations. That's in our 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Satan is bound up, and for this cause God shall send strong delusion that they may believe a lie. God is going to use him. The Spirit of God withholds him now. He's going to release him after the day of apostasy, when men begin to hypocrites in the pulpit and hypocrites in the pew, and they are those sons of perdition, that are different hypocrites than there's ever been because it's a different age. Oh, my soul. In John chapter 19, we have actual account of this. And Christ went through it himself to show you that he's going to take care of you and to give you testimony of how this thing is going to work. In John chapter 19, let's start with verse number 7. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." John 19:8. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went in again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. "I don't answer to you. I'm not going to say anything." He didn't disrespect him. He just didn't talk to him. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me?" It made him mad. "Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" Now listen at the answer. Jesus is standing there with blood running down his face, standing there being beaten, being bound. Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Here, the Lamb of God, within a few hours of his crucifixion, within a few hours of crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He stands there in his weakness, looking into the face of the strongest ruler on earth other than Caesar at that time. And he tells him, "You don't really understand that you don't have any power at all except my Father gave it to you." You need to understand, friend, that the devil is God's devil. He does give him certain powers. They are limited in scope. They are limited in the application of them. But he has power to deceive the nations. He has power to have God use him to bring forth the strong delusion that everybody on this earth that does not receive the love of the truth may be damned. But he has no power against you as you walk in the Spirit and you walk in obedience to Christ. He can't touch you. He can tempt you, but you are carried away when you give over to your own lust. He is a defeated foe. You must understand, he is God's devil. He is God's servant. God will use him. But he must give an account to God, and he must stay within the bounds that God has given him. We mentioned these verses earlier. Let's turn back and look at Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. If I can get back there, here it is. Let's start with Job 1:8. You know me. Verse 6, Job 1:6. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord." You got to have some kind of imagination to understand this and some perception to understand he's talking about the angelic forces, the sons of God. And I don't know how routinely this was. I didn't get to schedule. How often do the angels come and stand before God and give an account of themselves? I don't know. But I know they do. Because the Bible said there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. You know, it's funny how people, they want their privileges, and they'll identify with the holy angels, but when they're not seeking some privilege or wanting to be made known, self-willed and presumptuous, they don't want nothing to do with the church and the true people of God. So here comes Satan. He said, I was an angel. I'm coming back into this thing too. And the Lord said unto Satan, where you come from? Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, you got to give an account of yourself, buddy. You're God's devil. You're God's servant. You will do what I say when I say. You're not going to hurt my people. Even though I will loose you after the 1,000 years are up, you're only loose to deceive the nations. And Revelation 11 says, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. All the nations are under the authority of King Jesus. So you can't do anything except that which I allow you to. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said, well, in doing all that, did you see a certain fellow that I like? And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? You say you walked up and down, back and forth, you know. You had a crisscross pattern and you saw everybody and everything. Do you remember seeing one named Job? There's none like him in the earth. A perfect and upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth or abstains from and shuns all evil. Then Satan answered the Lord, and he didn't say, yeah, I think I saw him. He said, does Job fear God for naught? He didn't even want to acknowledge the question. You don't like being a servant, but ain't nothing he can do about it. Doth Job fear God for naught? Yeah, I saw him, but you got him bound up. Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath? Well, you mean Satan knew about his house and knew about him and all that he had? Yes. He had done an inventory of Job's house. He had done an inventory of Job's herds. And he had done an inventory of Job's health. He knows all about him. He knows all about you. And he's just dying, licking his chops to get at you. Listen. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Now, here's Satan doing what he normally does, trying to tempt. And here he is trying to tempt God. Job 1:11. But put forth thine hand. I don't want to do it. You do it, God. Put forth thine hand. Trying to tempt God to do it. Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse you to your face. You think you've got such a wonderful Christian? He'll cuss you out if you touch him. Put your hand forth now and touch all that he hath. And the Lord, he don't even answer him on his own level. You're not supposed to answer a fool according to his folly. And the Lord said unto Satan, I tell you what, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. What? Yep. I'll put all that he hath in your power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. He said, oh boy, and took off and went out there and smote Job with everything he was worth. His children were in a house having a feast, and Satan blew the house down and killed all of them. He sent the Sabians and stole his animals. The Chaldeans came and took all of his camels, slew all of his servants with a sword. Did all of this and made sure that everything Job had was destroyed. But Satan didn't do that without God saying, this is how far you can go. You can go no further. Now, we can read this, but poor old Job, he didn't know this. Did he curse God? His wife told him to. Why don't you curse God and die? She must have been talking for the devil, because that's what the devil said Job would do if God touched him. Now, chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. See, it's not just one time, but at least there was two times. It may have been a common thing that it happened upon appointed occasions. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. The arrogant imp. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? What you been doing? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? You did what you wanted to. You did according to all your power. But did you see that there's none like him in the earth? He didn't curse me. Isn't that glorious? That's not what he did. The Bible said in verse 20 of chapter 1, then Job arose and tore his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And he said, you know what? Naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. God won, Satan zero. Okay, Satan, did you see that there's none like him in all the earth? I unleashed your power. I gave you permission. The devil has to have permission of God to do anything that he does. And the devil can't touch you. If he came after you, he'd have to come under the blood of Christ. And he ain't going to get under the blood of Christ, because God ain't going to save him. So this is the Lord showing you that God is absolutely, positively sovereign over Satan. And that he will be loosed, but only to do that which God has required him to do. I want to read you a verse in a minute in Psalm 76. Don't let me forget it. Listen. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. That's God talking to Satan. And Satan answered the Lord and said, yeah, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. You didn't let me touch him. If I could touch him, or rather he wanted God to do it, but put forth thine hand down and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. Okay, he made it past the animals, he made past his children, he made past the people slaying the servants with a sword, and yeah, but if you touch him and give him and smite him with disease, he will curse you. And the Lord said again, because God cannot be tempted, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. You can touch his skin now. You touched everything that he had. You can touch his skin, but don't you dare take his life. And Satan went out and did it. Now, this is not just history about Job, and it is accurate history about Job. It is to tell you that Satan, in spiritual realms that you and I cannot perceive, see, or understand, God deals with Satan personally, and he sets bounds so that he cannot cross them. He gives him permission to do certain things, but only according to the dictates of God. There are not two sovereigns in this world. That's one too many. There's only one. All authority is given me in heaven and earth, Jesus Christ said. And he sits upon the throne at the right hand of God. God is so powerful and so great and so good The devil is nothing compared to God. And God's going to use him again, just like he used him here with Job. But that's only to go out and deceive the nations. And it is in his time. Destroy us not before our time. Satan shall be loosed a little season. God's going to take care of you, Christian. God's going to see after you. I don't want you, God doesn't want you, the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to be alarmed by what's going on in America, by the ungodliness that's going on in America, by things that we shall see even worse and going to get worse, because you are in the Lord Jesus Christ and God is sovereign over this realm, and nobody, there is no, God doesn't have any enemies. Everything that is in existence is a servant of God. Your adversary, the devil, ain't God's adversary. He's God's servant. And God's not going to let him touch you, because he has sealed you up in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and will take care of you. Now, I said to remind me about a verse, Psalm 76. Psalm 76. And I believe it's verse 10. So, Psalm 76:10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. Just in case you wondered, can some of that wrath get out from under God and get after me? Listen, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Whatever happens to you as far as trials and tribulations and any wrath of man that comes after you, it has to be precisely and concisely meted out by God, and not one ounce more than that which is able to bring you out of the world, bring the world out of you. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not permit you to be tempted above that ye are able. The wrath of man shall praise God. The remainder of wrath ain't going to happen. Everything that won't praise God as far as the devil or man's wrath against you is for the glory of God and for your sanctification. And anything more than that, not one ounce more than that, than what will benefit you in coming to a purity and a holiness and that for the glory of God, shall be restrained. That's the way that it is. The wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Oh, my soul, I don't know where to go next. Listen, let me show you something. Matthew 5. This is going to come up, and I want to warn you about it. Matthew 5. Verse 38. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You knock out my tooth, I'm going to knock out yours. God said that's the way it was under the law. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. Now, in another passage it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do we put these two verses together and say that they're both the Lord's scriptures? Well, resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Dear soul, you will find that if you will learn to let God take care of it, it's the best way. Listen at Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. You'll like it better when you wait on God and let him do it. Well, he killed my dog, I'm going to shoot his cat. You better not get into that, because vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. That's the way that it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 7. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 7. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Listen. Why do you not rather take wrong? Have you ever thought about that? Well, boy, they did so-and-so to me. I'm going after them. I'm going to get me a lawyer. Why don't you learn to take wrong? Why do you not rather take wrong? What did we do to Jesus? We put our sin on him. Was that right? No. He was without sin, in all points tempted. He took our wrong. I thought you said you wanted to be like Jesus. Well, I do. Well, then quit trying to exact vengeance on people. Listen, why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? That's the way it is. Go back to Romans 12. The book of Romans chapter 12. Verse 17. Romans 12, 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. You're getting in on something that don't belong to you. It belongs to God, and it won't turn out good for you. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So we find that God is in sovereign control of all of these things. It is going to be exactly like God wants it. God will repay. He will take care of it. You will be far more satisfied if you will keep your hands off of it and let God do it. You remember when David was in the cave and Saul was sleeping in that same cave and didn't know David was there, and his men said, go down there and kill him. And David gave in to it a little bit and went down there and cut off part of his coattail to let him see that he had got that close to him. And he said, you know what, Saul? It even grieves me that I cut off your coattail. I'm sorry that I messed up your clothes. I should have left this up to God. And God took care of it. Saul fell on his own sword and killed himself. So David didn't have to do it. Job 38, verse 8. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth, as if it had issued out of the womb. I'm sorry. Talking about the sea, that's all I'm trying to get in verse 8. Now listen at verse number 11. And said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Who is it that made the sea and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed? The proud waves of the ocean stop right here. The wicked are like the troubled sea, casting up dirt and mire. So we ain't just talking about the sea. We're not just talking about the ocean. We're talking about physical creation. I understand that. I've been to the beach, and you have too, the ocean, and you've seen these little grains of sand. Is that which kept that mighty ocean out? And you were astounded at that. God had said, this is as far as you can go. But that wasn't all there was to it. The wicked are like the troubled sea, casting up dirt and mire. the powers of darkness, the powers of Satan. They are powerful and they want to come after you. But God says to the natural sea and to the Satan himself, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed or stopped. You're not going any further. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not, even a little bit, to thine own understanding. Quit saying, what if? The devil will help you come up with all kinds of what ifs. What if this happened? What if that happened? Well, what if it don't? Wouldn't it be better to honor God and trust him and believe on him and leave it alone? Every time it comes up, you say, the devil keeps bringing that back to me. Well, good. That's just an opportunity to remind you to pray about it. And the devil will get tired of bringing what ifs to you if you use it to pray and to trust the Lord. It'll make him mad that he's helping you to discipline yourself to walk with God in the Spirit of God. If he says to the waves, this is where your mighty waves, thy proud waves, shall be stopped, the devil can't go any further. He's in thy hand, but save his life. And the devil did. Got permission. Couldn't do anything more than what God said. And it worked for God's glory. And if you read the last chapter of the book of Job, you'll find out that he had 10 times more than what he had to start with. But it wasn't just more cows and donkeys and horses and children and all that stuff. It was more integrity of heart, and became a great man in the kingdom of Almighty God. And he was one of the three that God talked about listening to his prayer, Daniel and Samuel and Job. It's amazing. Oh, dear soul, God's going to take good care of us. That's the way that it is. I feel like we've done all that we should, trying to help you understand and perceive and walk with God in this day and age that the Lord has given us. It's a different day. It's an unusual day. Our nation is being wasted away. It's being eroded, and integrity and Christianity are things that are beginning to be more and more rare. And dear soul, it's the Lord's will to let it go, then you should not hold on to it either. And while I was traveling and preaching in various conferences, I warned all the people in these conferences that I could, be careful that you don't exchange your Christianity for your patriotism. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. God's kingdom is a glorious kingdom, spiritual kingdom. Sovereign king rules over it all. And you need to keep your eyes off of things that are seen and look at the things that are not seen and quit worrying about what ifs. And I trust that God will help you in this message and these scriptures that God has given us, that God will bless you with it. Thank you for listening. God bless you.